Well, I guess
what inspiration I got for loving Moby Dick really evolved over decades. I had to read it as a sophomore in high school, and I had already watched the John Huston 1956 adaptation numerous times. For better or worse, for me, Gregory Peck will forever be Ahab. And when I first read it, it was just an endurance test. I was really happy that, okay, I read it cover to cover, and don't ask me much more beyond the plot. But as a grad student, I read it, and it really took off for me then. Since then, I've taught it numerous times here at Central. It's the gift that keeps on giving. There's just so much in that book that, like a true classic, the more you go to it, the more you discover new things. I like to situate it in its, you know, historical context. And so much of the book, Melville is in full-on critiquing of transcendentalism, especially, you know, Emerson's belief that all of nature is beneficent. There's something of God imbued in everything and every person.
You say it's a gem. What makes it so special?
There are so many chapters that are just brilliant critiques of transcendentalism, or by extension, Emerson. And at least I can roll off some of the titles of these chapters. The Masthead, when Ishmael goes up for his first whale watch. Of course, the whiteness of the whale, the monkey rope, where Ishmael is fastened with a rope to Queequeg as they cut up a whale. The castaway, when Pip goes mad. I mean, these are just gems in displaying Melville's skepticism of transcendentalism. Like I said, some of these chapters that I just rolled off, you know, they're just, you know, really profound. And it's a work as much of philosophy as it is, you know, your basic plot line of crazy Ahab seeking revenge against the white whale. And I know you want me to read one passage, which is not fair. I could go on for hours. But, yeah, I'd like to read a passage from Ishmael. And he starts, "There are certain queer times and occasions in this strange mixed affair we call life when a man takes this whole universe for a vast practical joke, though the wit thereof he but dimly discerns and more than suspects that the joke is at nobody's expense but his own. That odd sort of wayward mood I am speaking of comes over a man only in some time of extreme tribulation. It comes in the very midst of his earnestness, so that what just before might have seemed to him a thing most momentous now seems but a part of a general joke. There is nothing like the perils of whaling to breed this free and easy sort of genial desperado philosophy. And with it I now regarded this whole voyage of the Pequod and the great white whale its object."
What do you take the most out of that passage, would you say?
You know, maybe a modern-day counterpart would be, shit happens. You know, when I teach the book, I try to present it as kind of like dueling philosophies of life. Ahab is forever Ahab. Ishmael, his take on life evolved, whereas Ahab's, you know, remains kind of just fixed like rails. And it's much more of a philosophy of life that I think will make one, or at least give one, the potential of living a contented life.
I guess that's good advice for all of us.
Yeah.
That's probably something people will always be struggling with.
You know, I think this is going to be its legacy, is that there's always going to be a new Moby Dick on the horizon. There's just so much at play in the book that it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving, which I guess is the hallmark trait of being a classic. It's such a compelling work. It's going to continue to be there if people will read it.
If people read it. Well, I'm sure there will always be people reading books, hopefully. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.